Welcome to the Intuitive Eating and Body Positivity Podcast. I'm Terry and I'll be talking about all things intuitive eating, body positivity and health at every size, and shaking off weight stigma, diet culture and food rules so that we can all have a better relationship with food and our bodies. G'day, mate. How was that? My Australian friends tell me, was that terrible? I'm just trying to think of different ways to say things each week. I mean, it's tricky when you've got to say hello at the beginning of every episode every week. It's really difficult to come up with something different. I am clearly not somebody who's very good at accents. Maybe I should try a different one each week. See what it sounds like. See which ones that I can do and I cannot do. Should we try that? Send me your suggestions. What accent shall I try next week? Or rather, what accent shall I fail at next week? Or shall I just say hello? Shall I just say hello each week? How's your week been? Has it been good? It's been nice. It's been a bank holiday here this weekend. So a nice long weekend for everybody. Been gloriously sunny. If you're a long time listener, you'll know how happy that makes me because I love the summer. I love the heat. I love warmth. I love the sun. I love being able to sit outside and have my cup of tea in the morning. If you're an Instagram follower, you'll see that. You'll know that. I just love the sun. It makes me feel so good. I'm just somebody who needs access to the outdoors. I don't need to go hiking. I don't need to go on long bike rides and things like that, but I do need the outdoors in my life. So I'm no good in a room with no windows. I'm no good in a room with a window that doesn't open. I need access to fresh air. So I'm loving this time of year. And this weekend was so lovely. So lovely. So we spent quite a lot of it outside. Except for Sunday. Sunday was pool tournament day. Definitely no windows in the pool hall. They are typically quite dark places, but I do love it. It's such good fun. Such good fun. So that was a very long day. Sorry, guys, I didn't win. Shame, I know, right? But yeah, good day had by all. All good fun. Good fun. Hope you've had a good one. And if you were working, I'm sorry. Sorry. But let it be known that I had a great time on your behalf. Okay. what else is going on? Not an awful lot, really. Not an awful lot that I can tell you about. Just business as usual the rest of the time. So that's all good. Right. Today, I'm going to talk to you about that old TikTok trend that's going on for a little while now. Tell me you're doing something without telling me you're doing something. So if you're a TikTok follower, user, viewer, however you want to put it, you'll probably recognize this. It's a trend where people go, tell me you're doing something without telling me you're doing something. And then there is either a video or photos or whatever of you doing the thing. Oh, I can't even think of a good example now. Hang on, let me have a think about this. Okay, so I took a quick break and I went onto TikTok. And the first one that I came across was, tell me you're French without telling me you're French. And it's then a clip of a woman walking down the road, eating some baguette with a baguette tucked under her arm and then going, ooh la la, all the time. So that sort of thing, right? So this is today. Tell me you are restricting calories without telling me you're restricting calories. So basically, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about ways that you might be restricting calories, intentionally or otherwise, without actually actively restricting calories. This will all become clear in a moment. The first one on my list is sneaky food swaps. Things like when you try to make rice out of cauliflower, or when you try to make pasta, spaghetti, that sort of thing, from courgette. Oh, that was a big trend, wasn't it? Courgette spaghetti. Courgette spaghetti. But that was a thing for a long time. Cauliflower rice was a big thing when I was in a slimming club. Yeah. I never did it because I think the thing was you grated the cauliflower or something like that. But quite honestly, grating cauliflower to me is just asking for trouble. It's just going to crumble everywhere, isn't it? But anyway, people used to make cauliflower rice. I don't know if they still do or not. I don't know if it's still a thing. But it's all ways of cutting calories, specifically carbs in a lot of these cases. So are you doing things to cut calories or to cut carbs, to cut fats, to cut something? Are you doing that? Do you have something instead of something else? Do you have low-fat cheese instead of full-fat cheese? But because you're trying to reduce the fat content or the calorie content, not because you prefer the taste of it. You have to remember the intention behind this. If actually the things that you're doing are because you enjoy them, brilliant, carry on. If it's really satisfying you, excellent. But if these are sneaky little tactics for cutting calories and things, time to stop. So are you making sneaky little food swaps? Are you substituting some food for other food to try and get a lower calorie version in there? Also, are you controlling your portions in ways that may or may not be obvious? Are you actively choosing the smaller plate in the cupboard to put your dinner on? Because you think, if I have that size plate, I can't put too much food on it. Or are you pre-portioning snacks? So in the membership last month, I think it was last month, we were talking about snacks and how you can portion up snacks so they're easy to grab and go, right? You can get a big packet of something, a big bag of something, and you can portion it out into little tubs or sandwich bags or whatever you choose to use to carry your snacks in. You can portion them out so that they're easy and convenient, and there are options there should you just need to grab and go. However, if what you're doing is portioning up these bigger bags of stuff, but you're portioning them to certain sizes or certain weights or certain sizes of container so that you don't eat too much, quote unquote, that is portion control. That is calorie restriction. That's you restricting calories. If you're portioning by visual cues, that's another way to do it. So we used to be told at Slimming Club that you could have a piece of cheese the size of a matchbox. That was your allocated amount of cheese for the day. Or we knew what a measurement of milk looked like in a water bottle, for example. I quite quickly got to learn what sort of size scoop my allowed amount of porridge oats, for example, was. And there's quite commonly things in eating guidelines, you know, supposedly healthy eating guidelines, that say you mustn't have any more than a fist-sized portion of, or a palm-sized portion of, or a thumb-sized portion of some food. So when you're comparing serving sizes to everyday objects, or you know what a measurement is based on something in your kitchen, for example, that's portion control. That's restriction. That's you restricting calories without necessarily counting the calories. Are you adding flavor boosters? That's what we'll call them. I was just trying to think. That's why I took so long to say that, because I was just trying to think what I could call this. Are you adding things that are calorie free as flavor boosters instead of using foods that actually taste really nice. So are you having a typically bland food and then you're adding things like herbs and spices, citrus juices, vinegar, that sort of thing, salt, pepper? Are you adding those things to enhance the taste because what you're making is so bland and you don't want to add things that are flavorful, that are foods, because you're worried about the calorie content? Again, herbs, spices, citrus juices, vinegar, salt, pepper, they're all great things. They're all really good for adding flavor to meals. They're really good for giving some depth and making a meal a little bit more exciting than it would have been before. But again, are you doing it for the right reason? Are you using them because you know they're going to make your food taste better? Or are you using them because you need to do something with the food to make it taste better because you don't want to add other things? You know, fat, for example, has got really good flavor properties. Fat is very well known for really enhancing the flavor of a dish in various different dishes and in snacks and in convenience foods. Fat isn't always bad. There's this misconception that fat is terrible and should be avoided at all costs, when actually it's got such good things that it can do in your body, but also for the recipe itself, for the food itself, for the meal itself. So don't shy away from things because you're worried about the calories. Sometimes actually all you need is a little bit of these things to make such a difference to the way you enjoy your food. So give these things a go. Don't be scared to include them in your meals. Are you getting creative with your cooking techniques to find the most healthy, quote unquote, low calorie version that you can? Things like grilling, steaming, baking, they're all ways that we will cook when we're on a diet in order to save ourselves some calories, because those things don't include oil, do they? They don't include cooking fats. And another thing that we're taught to do is to use non-stick pans, because if you use a non-stick pan, you don't need cooking oil, right? Or on the whole, you don't need cooking oil, because the point of an oil is to stop it sticking most of the time. So are you doing things like that to minimize the need for fats? Because if you're doing it to minimize the need for fats, what you're doing is restricting your calories. So are you choosing your cooking techniques because that's how you like to cook? Or are you choosing them because they feel like the healthier option? Which one is it for you? Now, I grew up not having deep fried foods. In our house, we just didn't have deep fried foods. And a lot of that is probably because my mum was on a constant diet. It was a thing in our house to only have fried chips, you know, in a, like a deep fat fryer, once a year. And that was Christmas, because my dad wanted chips at Christmas. And it was like this big treat for him. Once a year, every Christmas, the deep fat fryer came out and proper chips were made. I say proper chips, that's, you know, that's what he called them. And everything in our house was cooked by grilling or baking or boiling, pretty much. We didn't even really, until my teens, have steamed veg. It was all pretty much boiled. We live with my nan. She used very old traditional ways of cooking, and, you know, they didn't really have veg steamers and things then. So very traditional old cooking techniques, but nothing fried. We really didn't have much fried food. So effectively, what this meant is that I grew up not really liking fried foods, because I just didn't have them very often. My palate wasn't used to them. I was more used to having the grilled, the steamed, boiled, you know, all that sort of thing, the oven baked. And actually what it meant was, when I did come to have fried foods, it made me feel a little bit unwell, because my body wasn't used to it. My stomach wasn't used to it. My digestion wasn't used to it. So if that's you and you've grown up eating in a certain way, then it might be that you just naturally don't like to have fried foods, or you naturally prefer some type of cooking over others. Awesome. That's the way your tastes have developed. That's absolutely fine. If, though, you love fried chips, if you love fried eggs, if you love fried fish, sausages, whatever it is that you like, if you like those foods and you're not having them and you're grilling them or steaming them or baking them because of the calories, not okay, hun. Again, a little bit of what you really, really enjoy is going to satisfy you so much more than a lot of something you don't enjoy. You know, you've got to give yourself the satisfaction with the food. It's not all just about what that food is, and what it's made up of, and how many calories it is. Are you mindfully eating? Oh, this is going to be tricky, isn't it, this one? Mindfully eating, but with a view to reducing your calorie intake. Right. I know. I know that I advocate for mindful eating. I do. I really, really do. But what I've said before and what I will echo here is when you are following somebody who tells you about mindful eating, you have to kind of look into what their reason is for that mindful eating. Okay. So I know a few coaches that will say to do mindful eating as part of weight control. And that's where it goes wrong. I love intuitive eating. I love the mindful aspect of it. I really like sitting down, focusing on the eating, focusing on the enjoyment from the food, the flavors, the textures, all of the things that you're enjoying, and if you're enjoying it, and how hungry you are, and how that wanes as you eat the food. It's all this big awareness for me in the body of how the food makes us feel in the body, how it makes your body react. But some practitioners will preach it as a way of calorie control because they approach it with this reasoning of, well, if you eat more slowly, if you pay attention, what you will hear is your body telling you that you're getting full and then it's time to stop. But intuitive eating, that's not what mindful eating is. It is about just this observation, this awareness of what your body feels like when you're eating different types of foods. And yes, you can pay attention to the hunger and fullness cues. That's absolutely something that you should be doing. But just because you start to feel full, just because you start to feel satisfied, doesn't necessarily mean it's time to stop eating. Sometimes we get to that point where we're full, but we're enjoying it so much that we just want to carry on. And so you should, because what happens if you stop, if you stop at that point and you're not ready to stop, then you end up dissatisfied. I just couldn't remember what the word I was thinking. Unsatisfied? What is the word? Dissatisfied. You end up dissatisfied, and then that creates this extra binging in the evening, you know, all of that sort of thing. Later, you're trying to fill the hole that's been left because you stopped eating too soon. So what are your reasons for mindful eating? Why are you practicing mindful eating? Are you doing it to reduce your calorie intake, or are you doing it to genuinely see what your body is doing when you're eating and what the flavors taste like and how much you enjoy them, that sort of thing? So have a little think about that. Next time you're intuitive eating, next time you're mindful eating rather, take that a little step further, take that mindful eating one step further. And while you're mindfully eating, think, oh, what am I actually thinking while I'm doing this? What am I thinking about the amount of food as well as the types of food? Oh, I just had a thought. I want to go back to snacks for a minute as well. So, you know, we were saying earlier about snacks and portioning snacks and restricting the amounts of snacks. Well, Your choice of snacks too is important. So are you intentionally choosing low-calorie snacks? Are you choosing them because they're low-calorie, even if you're choosing the things you really like? So, for example, things like popcorn, right? That might feel like a real treat to you. It might feel like you're being a bit naughty. But actually, are you choosing that popcorn because it's a choice between popcorn and maybe chocolate? And you're like, oh, well, that really is the better option. If I'm going to have something bad, then I do need to choose the better one of the two. Do you see what I mean? Or are you choosing, you're going to have hummus, say, or some dips of some kind. Are you choosing to have the breadsticks or the crackers or whatever it is you want to dip in there? Or are you choosing vegetable sticks? Which one are you choosing and why? If you're choosing the vegetable sticks, is that because you really enjoy them? And you really, really enjoy them? Like really enjoy them? Or is it because they are less calorific? Which one is it for you? And things like yogurt as well. I talk about yogurt quite often because one of the biggest revelations since quitting dieting and becoming an intuitive eater is yogurt. How much do I love Greek yogurt? The thick, creamy, satisfying, filling yogurt that is Greek yogurt. It's so much nicer than the watery crap that you have when you are on a diet that does nothing to satisfy you, does nothing to help your enjoyment of food, and certainly doesn't fill you up or contribute anything nutritionally to your diet, does it? So have a look at your snacks. What are you doing? Are you eating these things because you really enjoy it? And please be honest, do you really enjoy it? Or are you settling? Here's one you might not have thought of yet or even recognized that you were doing. Water or hydration in some way, shape or form. Are you having a glass of water before your meal because you think it'll restrict the amount of food you take in? Are you having things like herbal teas, infused waters, zero calorie fizzy drinks, low calorie, low sugar, squash, that sort of thing? Are you having flavored water? What are you having that is a bit of a hack? A hydration hack, some might say. What are you doing with your drinks that means you're not taking on the calorific stuff? Do you even know what you're doing? Are you just still in old dieting ways and you're buying the calorie-free stuff off the shelf because that's just what you've always done? This is what I mean when I said at the beginning, you might be restricting calories, not even knowing really that you're doing it or not intentionally doing it. And this is one of those ways. If it's something you've always done, if forever and a day you've bought low calorie drinks or you've been taught to have a glass of water because it will help to fill you up, that sort of thing, that does tend to stick with us because drinks are not so obvious. They don't feel like they're impacting on our eating. They don't feel like they are a dieting thing or a way of restricting intake, but they are. So are you stuck in that habit? I mean, if you really enjoy them, again, stick with it. There is really no problem with you having all of these things. There's no problem with having flavored waters, herbal teas, infused waters, low calorie, fizzy drinks, squashes, that sort of thing. If you really enjoy them, then that's great. I drink a lot of Diet Pepsi because I really like it and I don't like the taste of I call it full fat, or, you know, lots of people call it full fat drink, don't they? That's such a bad term. I really have to stop that. It's a really bad term. There is no fat in fizzy drinks. Anyway, I do that. I drink a lot of Diet Pepsi because I don't like the taste of the sugary versions. So that's my preference to do that. When it comes to things like squash and fruit teas and things like that, I'll just have the ones that I like. I don't do it to remove anything else. I don't do it to fill myself up. I don't do it to take away calories in any way, shape or form. So again, are you doing it? Is it a habit that you're in? Do you prefer them? Would you like one of the other versions? Have you even tried? Have you tried to mix it up a bit? You don't have to. Obviously, it's very much a preference thing, drinks. But if you're using that to try and restrict calories, then not good, not good. Are you saying no to seconds? Are you being offered a second slice of cake and you're like, oh, no, I mustn't. No, no, no. Are you being offered, another donut late in the afternoon because there's still donuts left? Somebody had bought them in for work and you've had one at lunchtime and then somebody's offered you another one later, said, look, there's some donuts left. Do you want another one? And you're like, oh, no, 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 I mustn't do that. No. Pasta, things like that. Do you really want some more pasta because it's so blooming delicious? And you're just saying no because, oh no, I shouldn't. I've had too much pasta. So are you saying no to seconds when you really want them? That's the thing. Do you actually really want it? If you don't want it, don't have it. But are you inside going, oh, I'd really like to? But what will people think? But it won't be good for me. But it will be bad for my sugar levels, blood sugar levels. But it will be fattening. But that's too many calories today. What's your reason for saying no? Are you, what else? Are you time restricting? Are you time restricting your calorie intake? Are you not eating until midday? Just skip breakfast. Just don't eat until midday. And only eating until 6 o'clock, because then once 6 o'clock in the evening comes, no more food, thank you. Are you doing that? Are you only eating within certain time windows? Are you essentially intermittent fasting? That's what that is, you know. That's what that is. And all intermittent fasting is restricting the amount of time that you can eat, therefore restricting the amount of food you can eat. That's what it boils down to largely. So all these people that do intermittent fasting and they lose weight, they say they lose weight because it's so good. It's so good for you. It's really good for your body. I lost weight. Well, that's because they've restricted the amount of calories that they're taking in. They've restricted the window in which they can eat and therefore have probably restricted the amount of food that they can eat. There have been studies that show that this is exactly what happens with people who intermittent fast. So be aware of what you're doing there. You might be getting up in the morning and going all at it all day long. And then once, say, 6 o'clock comes, or once you've had your evening meal, for example, then maybe that's it. You go, no, no more, no more. I can't. And again, are you hungry outside of those times? Does your body actually want it? Is it asking you for it? Do you need to eat something in the morning because you're hungry, or your body in some way is telling you that it needs food? You know, are you a bit shaky? Does it take you a while to wake up? Are you a bit headachy? Do you feel a bit like you need some energy? You probably need some food. And likewise, in the evening, are you actually hungry? And you're sat there going, oh, I shouldn't be hungry because I've only just eaten. I had my dinner an hour ago. Well, that's fine, because if your body is now hungry again, you're just hungry. It's fine. And so when you are then saying, no, no, I can't because it's after this time of day, you're into restriction and you're into active calorie restriction. Are you exercising in order to have more food? Now, this doesn't sound like a restriction thing, does it? Doesn't sound like you exercising to eat more is a form of calorie restriction. But let's turn this round. What if you were to be in the mindset where you were exercising in order to have more food? What if you reversed that and said, right, well, if you don't exercise, what does that mean for your eating? Does that mean you're not allowed more food? Is that what's happening here? Are you exercising to allow yourself more food? Are you exercising to allow yourself a normal amount of food? Are you exercising to make up for something that you're doing tomorrow? You know, are you going to meet friends for lunch and you're worried about the amount you're going to eat? Did you go out last night and you had a lot to drink? So now you're trying to make up for it. Exercising can be a form of calorie restriction. So what are your reasons for exercising? And more's the point, what happens if you don't exercise? What does that happen to your relationship with food if you don't exercise? Do you actively stop yourself eating different things, eating certain types of food, eating certain amounts of food if you don't exercise? And I think finally for today, nutrition. Right, this is a tricky one, isn't it? I have spoken about this a few times, but if you're new to the podcast or if you're not in my membership or something like that, you may not realize that eating nutritiously, eating for a nutritional reason, is not always a good thing. Yes, in the long run, we really, really want to have this really great balance of food in our lives. We want a really nice, balanced, nutritious diet. We like to have a big mix of fruits, vegetables, protein, fat, carbs. We want all of that in our diets. But we do not want the calorie content of those things to be the driving factor there. So if you find a way of eating that suits you, if you love a big plate of vegetables, if that's your thing, awesome. Continue, go ahead. It's going to be really good for you. It's going to contribute a lot of things to your body that will help it function properly. But equally, if you are not somebody who likes to eat like that, you'll have your own preferences. Therefore, you'll have your own different mix of food that's going in and their contributions to your body. And over time, intuitive eaters actually have a better intake of balance of nutrition. The vitamins, the minerals, the food groups, intuitive eaters have been proven that when they truly intuitively eat, their intake is very, very balanced and very, very good. But what those intuitive eaters are not doing is eating that range of foods, eating nutritionally, because it's more healthy, less calorific. It's got a real link, hasn't it? Nutrition and healthy and calories. It's very much deemed to be that if you're eating less calories, you're probably eating healthier. Well, that's not true, because let's look at people with restrictive eating disorders. Lots of people will be restricting down to very, very, very small amounts of food. And it's very unhealthy. If you take things like the shakes diets, like Cambridge, that sort of thing, Slim Fast, that sort of thing, it's all very restrictive. It brings your calories right down, but it's definitely not a nutritious way to be eating. You can't tell me that somebody who is doing Cambridge or doing Slim Fast, although these products are supposed to be nutritionally balanced, you can't tell me that these people have got a good relationship with food and a healthy balance of food going in and that they are nutritionally sound. You know, that their body is nutritionally satisfied. I don't believe that for a minute. It's a very unhealthy way to eat. So restricting calories does not necessarily mean eating healthily. And likewise, eating nutritionally in order to cut calories is no better than just cutting calories. Okay. So again, we can all, if we want to, aim to eat in a really nutritious way, in a way that serves our bodies well. And in an ideal world, wouldn't we all love to do that? Just have this really nice, perfect balance of all the things our bodies need. But remember, nutrition is individual. Your body is individual, and what your body needs is individual. So don't be just taking one of these typically nutritionally balanced plans that you can get left, right, and flip-flop and think that that is going to suit your body down to the ground. This is where intuitive eating really needs to come into force. It needs to tell you what your body's asking for at any given time. So are you eating nutritionally because you want to? Are you eating a balanced, well-mixed, overall group of foods because you enjoy it, because it makes you feel good, because it makes you feel energized, because your body works the best on that? Or are you doing it because you think it's the right thing to do, the healthy thing to do, and to cut calories? Which one is it? So that should give you some things to think about. So now, with that in mind, tell me that you're restricting calories without telling me that you're restricting your calories. You get it now? Yeah, that should keep you going. That should get the old brain ticking, shouldn't it? That should get the cogs turning. Are you going to see your eating habits slightly differently now that I've put some of these things in your head? What do you think?